when we say worship, what does worship mean? So worship is giving honor or paying honor, divine honor to a supreme being. That is worship. So if you realize, anytime people are going to see even mortal men like Osei Tutu, you see how they behave. Some of them even walk backwards to show reverence to the man. They walk backwards with their backs facing the chief. They walk when they get to the chief's place before they tend the tent. No matter who you are, even if you are the president of Ghana and you go there, then you hear Osei Tutu saying, "My children." You see, like, he has brought you under him. So meaning, like, these people worship even mortal men because of, one, what they will get from that kind of worship, because they know that they will get favor, because they know that they know what they will get from it. Please, you get what I'm saying? Yeah. So worship, what does worship God mean? Prophet, forgive me, Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Worshiping God, that's what we are talking about. Then we will know. Sometimes people don't understand why, when we are worshiping God, you see, anytime we begin to worship God, then God descends from his throne and come and addresses your issue. But when we begin to worship God, sometimes we ask ourselves, what you are doing, is it proper worship? Because from the Bible, from the scriptures, the Bible was saying that we have true worshipers. And we have, that means when the Bible says you have true worship, that means we have people who don't worship truthfully. So meaning we have true worship and false worship. So there's a difference between these two, true worship and false worship. So when you open the chat box, yeah, Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. So true worship and false worship. If you realize the LTM is worship, meaning yeah, you can be worshiping, but your worship can be true or it can be false. So God doesn't look at the gymnastics you are doing. If you like, be praying and be dancing, ge-ge-ge-ge-ge. If you like, roll on the floor, be worshiping God. But if the worship you are worshiping God is false, you are not doing anything. So according to the, please open the chat box. According to Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, it says, the Lord says, these people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me. Their worship is based on merely human rules that have been taught. So if you meditate on this scripture, the Lord is simply saying that people worship him based on what they've been taught, not based on what the Holy Spirit has taught them. You see, anytime you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit gives you illumination to what you are reading. That's what becomes rhema in your heart. So we don't use our carnal wisdom to interpret the scriptures. The Holy Spirit interprets whatever we are reading and tells us God's mind concerning whatever we are reading. Do you get something? So according to the scripture, it says the Lord himself is saying, you know, that, you see, that all those who are worshiping him, they come near to him with their mouth and honor him with their lips. They are just doing lip service. So there are a whole lot of people who go to the church. They'll open their mouth to be praying. You'll be there, and then if you're a woman, you see a guy praying, giddy, worshiping God, but nothing is going up. Because they are doing lip service. They are acting. You see somebody holding the mic, singing. You'll be like, hey, this person is singing powerfully. But according to God, they are doing lip services. So the long and short of all these things is, anytime you begin to worship God and your heart is not in it, forget. Nothing is going to God. If you like, roll on the ground and be screaming, God, and everybody will see that you are rolling on the ground and your heart is not inside, forget. You are not worshiping God. So people wonder, why is it that when they begin to worship God, God doesn't come through for them? God takes worship seriously. That is one of the most serious things God doesn't play with. So, according to this scripture, we have realized that worship is a heart thing. If your heart is not in it, God doesn't mind you. Because God listens to people whose heart is inside whatever they are doing. That is what God calls truth. Anytime your heart is not in something, you are a hypocrite. That's why the Bible says that what's the name? Let me look for the scripture. It said he's looking for true worshippers. Governor Nipa, do you know where the scripture is? Yeah, true worshippers. The Bible says that they that must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is there and is looking for true worshippers. When you open John chapter 4, verse 23, he says that, Nipa, read it for me, put it there. According to John chapter 4, verse 23, he says that, yet a time is coming, and the time has come now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. So, you see, whilst you are looking for God, God is looking for you too. So how can God be looking for you and you'll be, how will I say it? Things are going bad in your life because God is also looking for you. Anytime you begin to seek God and you seek God in spirit and in truth, God also starts looking for you because now you are important to him. God doesn't joke with his worship. If God realizes that stones and birds worship him better than you, God will be looking for stones and birds. So anytime, have you posted the scripture there? Yes. Yet a time is coming and the time is now when the true worshippers will worship him worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. So when you look at this scripture, you realize that there are two keywords. There is one, worshiping the Father in two ways. You are worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. You know that God is a spirit. You can't worship God in your flesh. You go and misbehave, you go and fool yourself, and you are worshiping God, and you expect it to reach God. No. It won't reach God because now it's like you have to tune in into the frequency of God to reach God. In this world that we are in, there are a whole lot of frequencies, just like your radio. When you are tuning to Peace FM, you are tuning to Radio Gold, you are tuning. That is the same way. For you to worship God, you have to tune into the frequency of God. And if your flesh stands between you and God, forget it. You can't enter the spirit. That's why the Bible was also talking about you entering your secret place. Do you know what it means? You entering your secret place means you should be able to go into the spirit and come out of the spirit go into the spirit. That is entering your secret place. So when you read the scriptures and the Bible is saying that you should enter your closet, it doesn't mean you should go into your room and be praying. That's your closet. No, your closet is the secret place, which is the spirit. That is how to go and worship God. For you to worship God, enter your closet means entering into the spirit. That is how to worship God. Entering the spirit. So if that is the case, then people think that entering your closet means entering your room. So if that's the case, when you are sitting in a trotro and the trotro is about to get an accident, would you fly from the trotro and go to your house and open that secret place you have created and pray? Or you die? Are you now going to do that? You enter your secret place first before God will hear you? No. You are supposed to enter the spirit, which is the secret place. That is the first thing to do. After entering the secret place, then you do that with truth. Doing that with truth is when your heart is inside what you are doing. Meaning, attitude counts when you are worshiping God. Attitude counts when you are worshiping God. You can't be there and somebody will offend you and you have a grudge with somebody and you go and stand in front of God and expect your heart to be okay with God and you expect God to listen to you. You'll be there and be fighting. Unnecessary arguments. Unnecessary fights. Some of these things, they are all distractions the devil has been using to make our heart not right so that our worship will not go up. See, Cain. Do you think Cain didn't bring proper things to God? He brought things that are not suitable in God's eyes, but in his eyes, he thinks they are proper things. Do you think that it is by force to go and give offering to God? When Abel was giving offering and Cain was giving offering, he could have just said, "Master, me don't give any offering." But he made an effort. So worship is not just being there and you are just opening your mouth and making an effort and you think God will listen to you. No. Cain made an effort to offer sacrifices to God. But God rejected it. Do you hear what I'm saying? God rejected Cain's offering, even though he made an effort. So it is not okay just to make an effort because you come to church and you think that is all. That's why people go to church and they don't receive anything, because you can go to church and not go into the presence of God. Yeah, that's what people have been doing for so many years. They go to church and they don't go into the presence of God. Because how can you go into the presence of God and still be the same? How? How can you go into the presence of God and you still have the same issues that you have been facing? The same. You can't meet God and still be the same. You can't. You can't meet God and be the same. The moment you have an encounter with Jesus and the moment you have an encounter with God, your life should change. And imagine going to church and meeting God. That's why the Bible says, do not forsake the gatherings of the saints. Meaning, you are supposed to, God is giving you every opportunity, because when the saints gather, the Bible says that God is there. So wherever two or three people are gathered in his name, God is there in their midst. So anytime you forsake the gathering of the saints, you are forsaking an opportunity to meet God. So if the saints gather, that means God is there and you are going to meet God, and I am going to meet God, and now you don't know how to tell God what is wrong with you. That means you are doing cross 90 work. You are doing cross 90 work, because every time you come and see God, you just come and look at God's face and you go back to your house. You're like, "Hey God, how are you? Hey God," then you go back. That's what a lot of believers are doing. They go to church, go and look at God's face. They open their mouth and sing and pray, but nothing. Because God says that in according to Isaiah chapter 29, He says your heart is not inside whatever you are doing. And two, you've not entered the spirit. You came there carnally. You came there carnally minded. You know, as you are there, you are carnal. The things that are going into your mind are so carnal. So, for you to access the presence of God, you have to make these two things right. And these two things that are right should be, one, your heart should be right so that you won't be a hypocrite. Two, when the Bible was saying that if you are hot, you should be hot, and if you are cold, you should be hot, and He will spit out hypocrite people. You know what the Bible is trying to talk about? The Bible is trying to talk about people who go in the spirit and come out of the spirit anytime they will. You are there, then today you are in the spirit. Tomorrow you are not in the spirit. Today you are doing God's work. The next day, you're like, today the way I'm feeling. Hey! And you want God to be doing things for you. You want God to be, you'll be there and be crying to God, that God, I want this and that and this and this from you. And you want God to do it for you. Or else you don't worship God. You don't worship God truthfully. So people like that, God already hates you because you are a hypocrite. And according to God's eyes, He hates you. He wants to spit you out. So anytime you come into the presence of God, anytime you come into the presence of God, you have to come into the presence of God with your purity of your heart. Your heart should be true. So anytime you come to the presence of God, the Holy Spirit should convict your heart. Anytime you come to the presence of God, you should be convicted. You should be getting goosebumps all over. Like, I have come to God. But some of us, even when we are singing songs, because we have tuned the lyrics of the, we don't even tune the lyrics, we've tuned the mechanisms of the song, we just sing the song. You just sing it. You don't even know the words inside the song, because from childhood, you are reciting these things as poems. You have to meditate on what you are saying. Sometimes, you should understand even the song you are singing. It's not every worship that glorifies God. The fact that somebody is singing it doesn't mean that it is worshipful. The fact that a gospel musician has created a song doesn't mean it is worshipful. For you to create a song that worships God or that touches the heart of God, it should come from a place of purity of heart and the spirit realm. So there are some people who are gospel musicians, and they are not pure, and they are not worshiping God, and they just created a song out of their carnal minds, and they have released it, and because there's God inside, you think that you are worshiping God. Forget. Whatever you are doing is not going to God. God is not hearing anything. God is not hearing any single thing. Nothing is going to God. Somebody died and went to heaven, and this was his account. According to him, he saw a very big program, like a program in the National Theater. And in that program, they've invited very, 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 very top music, gospel artists to come and lead people into worship. And an angel of the Lord told him that he should look at what these people are doing, how they worship God. And he said, as he began to open his ears and his eyes to look at how these people worship God, he was so surprised and so sad, because as they are lifting their mouth to sing, the song doesn't even cross the earth to reach the heavens. Whatever they were singing, some of them were crying. Some of them were, see, the fact that you cry doesn't mean that it's from your heart. Some of them were crying. Some of them were singing. Some of them were rolling on the floor. But nothing was written heaven. Nothing, nothing. Because the previous day, before they came, they were misbehaving. It's only Sunday that they know God. That Sunday, they are holy. It's only Sunday that they know God. My soul will rest in your embrace. Whilst you are there, we think God doesn't know the end from the beginning. God knows you. God knows you. God knows you. See, God knows the time you die. God knows the number of children you give birth to. So anytime you are beginning to, anytime you worship God, put it behind your head that God knows you. You know what the devil does? The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. It doesn't tolerate foolishness and lies. So this is what the Holy Spirit does. This is what the devil does. The devil brings you into the realm of error, and the Holy Spirit won't follow you to that realm. There are some, as you see God like that, he has principles. So the devil will deceive you because he knows he's not powerful. All he can do is deceive you. And there's a certain realm called the realm of error. Immediately you enter that realm of error, where now the devil can legally bind you that whatever you did is equal to a punishment that God is supposed to give to you. God can't do anything about it. You accuse you. The devil accuse you and tell God that, God, this is your son that you've been praising like that. No? This is the foolish things he has been doing. No? This is what he has been doing. That is what the devil has been doing. And Holy Spirit and God are so pure and so the way they are, they won't follow you into that realm of error. So you, the person, you repent. Repentance means 360 turning around. No, 380. Just turn. You just turn. That's repentance. You turn complete turn away from your foolish ways and leave that realm of error and go to God and tell God that, God, I have sinned. We can do that because God is our Father. God is not any this thing, and God wants us to do that. God just wants us to come and tell him that, Bunyame, Charlie, I'm not trying you. This is the things I did. Today I went to do this. I went to do that. Please forgive me. That is what God wants from us. Then God will just, then Jesus Christ, who is our advocate, who is our lawyer, will swoop in and now take our keys, our lawyer, and tell God that, God, look at my hands. I died for this guy. And as soon as you are out of the realm of error, that's when things will start working for you. But if you are in the realm of error, the devil has deceived you to go to that realm of error. Forget. Do you know what is sin? Sin is not what has been like. You'll be there and be like, today I feel like what I'm doing is sin. No. Sin is disobedience. Finish. Sin is disobedience. That is sin. Transgressing what God is saying is right. That is sin. Disobeying God's direct order. What God says you shouldn't do is sin. So anytime you are there and you are convicted by what you are doing, you are sinning. So if your heart is not right, you are not standing right with God. Standing right with God also means right standing with God, which is also righteousness. So anytime you are not standing right with God, it means your heart is not right with God. So whatever you are doing from that altar of your heart doesn't go to heaven. You know that our heart is an altar, and on our heart we offer sacrifices of praise and worship to God. So anytime you begin to offer sacrifices of praise and worship on your heart to God, and that your altar is not right, forget. Because according to God, praise and worship are like sweet scented to him. And anytime you begin to worship God, he descends from his throne into your situation. That's why you can't go and meet God. You can't go and meet God and return the sin. Because anytime you begin to worship God out of your heart, the sickness that is in you will leave. You see, it's not every time that a man of God should pray for you to be okay. My father was giving this example that he was supposed to go for a serious surgery. What hasn't he done? He has fasted. He has done like 48 days fasting. Still, nothing. He has done everything. See, which man of God didn't pray for him? Because his situation was an impossible situation. Some of this kind of situation, you only need God to come and stand inside for you. Impossible situation. Anytime you begin to pray, God sends his angels and tells you, angel this, angel that. Go and sort this issue. Like, go and tell the lions not to chew Daniel. God sends his angels anytime you begin to pray. But anytime you begin to worship God, God himself comes into your situation. Please, are you there? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Can you guys hear me?
Yes, please.
Abigail, can you hear me? Angela, David.
Yeah, can I hear you?
Angela, can you hear me? David, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Nikolai, can you hear you?
Good. So, you would have to... That altar, which is your heart, should be pure. Because anytime you meet God, anytime you come into the presence of God, something must change in your life. God is a master of dealing with impossible situations. In fact, that is what God laughs at. That is what God enjoys. That somebody is dead. And now, like, you see, ask yourself this question. Why is it that when Lazarus died, Jesus took time to go to the man's place? The man was sick. Lazarus' sister was telling Jesus, Charlie, your friend is sick. Won't you come and pray for him? Your friend is sick. Come and pray for him. Come and pray for your friend. He's sick. Was delaying till the man died. Are you listening to what I'm saying? When the man died, that was when Jesus Christ came to prove that God is a master of impossible situations. See, God created you from scratch. It's not like you were already some way, then God went to collect, oh, okay, maybe let's go to Pluto. They do body spare parts there. They sell heads, so let me go and buy the head. God didn't assemble you. Like how what they do to iPhones, and they'll go and buy screen from this place, and they'll go and buy that. God built you from scratch. So what is it that God cannot give you? God built you from scratch. Every cell of your body, every bone, every part of your body was built from scratch. Is it sickness? Do you think that God cannot snap his hand and whatever is going on in your life will just cease? But ask me, why is it that God is not doing that? God obeys principle. That's why he's called a just God. That's why, you see, the devil, one of the devices of the devil is he turns we ourselves against God. He makes you rebel. So God, one of the things God hates is rebellion. Rebellion to him, rebellion to authority. When God puts somebody above you, then you are misbehaving. When a person gives order, then you're like, me and the person, we are the same age mate. So, hey, when God puts somebody on top of you, the person has been given delegated authority to be over you because the person is representing God at that moment as your shepherd. God hates rebels. What is rebellion as witchcraft? God sees rebellion as witchcraft. So, I've spoken for long, and today I have one prayer point that we should pray about. That God should help us make our heart right, so that anytime we begin to offer sacrifices on our heart to Him, it will be acceptable unto Him. Anytime we begin to worship God, He will accept our worship. Anytime we go into the presence of God, let's pray that anytime we go into the presence of God, we are found in the presence of God in truth and in spirit. Let's begin to open our mouth with us. We've learned how to worship God. So let's open our mouth and begin to worship God and begin to pray with our hearts. We don't pray with our mouth. From the scripture, we see our hearts speak to God, not our mouth. So let's open our mouth and begin to worship God and begin to speak to God and begin to tell God the things of our heart. Because before you start praying, God already knows what you are praying about. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to worship God.
So that's
every the depths of what's Lavande Kapadoshi Kaba Lepaya Dadabadaba Rande Kaba Vado Sediata Kapadoshi Debe Mande Kaba 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 Rako Shedada Lavende Levante Shatati Pandu Yante Manta Kabadoshi Yande Manda Raki Shadadaba Limbado Shadi Kaba Kadadi Shedebe Rako Shadadabado Shadadaba Liza Kiamanto Yata. Let's begin to open our mouth and begin to pray that God will help us worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's begin to open our mouth and begin to pray that God will make our hearts right in front of Him. Let's begin to open our mouth and pray and tell God that our worship will not be only lip worshiping, shall not be only the worship of our mouth, but shall be the worship of our heart. Let's begin to open our mouth and begin to pray and tell God that God will honor us with His presence. Let's begin to open our mouth and pray and that God will honor us with His presence, that our attitude towards Him shall be right. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I hope you are all blessed by today's word that has come. That for us to worship God, we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we shouldn't do lip worshiping and mouth worshiping, but we should worship God with our hearts. So that is the end of my message to you.